I don't know about you, but I am tired of spending more and getting less.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
So over the weekend, I'm reading this story about a child, a student in a school in the great state of Mississippi. Now, of course, like many schools around the nation, all the students that do come to class where classes are allowed to be held, well, they're having to wear face masks, you know, to prevent killing each other from the coronavirus. You know, the virus that students in other parts of the world don't seem to be spreading in their schools, but only in America, I guess, will it spread. Well, on her face mask, she had, for her own comfort and something that was made for her, maybe purchased for, I don't know, it said, "I love Jesus," on her face mask. And of course, the school officials in Mississippi became deeply concerned and told her she had to take it off and replace it with a different face mask, because she couldn't dare have something that says, "I love Jesus," on her face mask. It'd be breaking some kind of federal law or state law or some law. And it may cause some student to go into a panic attack if they were to see her face mask saying, "I love Jesus." Now, I asked the question, if another student happened to have on their face mask, "I love Muhammad," would the school had done the same thing? I can guess that they probably would not have, knowing the kind of backlash it would bring. But see, suppressing the expression of a Christian is becoming commonplace, even in Mississippi, a conservative state. And what it really comes down to is one of the greatest dangers facing the United States today. It's definitely not the coronavirus. We'll be talking about that today, tomorrow, and probably some of the strange things that are coming out this week. The more I read, the more I shake my head in disbelief how this virus got used. But let's get back to our student here. Thankfully, a group has stepped up and they're suing the school. I mean, why should she be singled out and others are not? The schools today have become woke cesspools of ignorance, stupidity, and wokeism. It is a clear and present danger to a free people. The public school system needs to be abandoned by all Christians immediately. You are sent, look, as a Christian, I'm going to give you this right now. Would you knowingly send your children into, the First Church of Satan in downtown Los Angeles to get their education? Of course you wouldn't. But you're essentially doing the same thing in today's American public schools. It used to be 20, 25 years ago, it was only schools in places like, New York City or San Francisco or Washington, D.C., you know, some big city. And then, you know, hometown America in Emporium, Pennsylvania or something like that. You never worried about it in Palmyra, New York. You didn't think about it in Yazoo City, Mississippi. You never worried about it in Fort Payne, Alabama. But guess what? You have to today. Those that have wanted to decimate and take over the Western world have always used the same playbook. All despots, all dictators, all of them, everyone has used the same playbook for literally hundreds of years. Hitler understood it. Mao Zedong understood it. Stalin understood it. They all did. Capture the youth. Control the schools. put a wedge between parents and their children. Make the student dependent upon the state. I can remember when I went to both a parochial school as a young child, then even high school. These kind of, well, problems that we see today did not exist 50 years ago when I went to public school. Some of the teachers that I had, I knew from church, of all places. My English teacher was the wife of a very prominent Presbyterian pastor in our town. We never worried about being overly concerned about somebody praying before an event, publicly, on a stage, like at a high school graduation, or a football game. Those kind of things in a school in a small town in upstate New York were considered normal. Have been that way for years before, literally since the days of our founding fathers of this nation. Nobody got bent out of shape and all worried about somebody giving an invocation or a blessing. We never worried about gun violence either. I want you to imagine today, any school in the United States, I don't care if it's a big city, small town, middle of nowhere, doesn't make any, never mind to me. Hunting season, small town, upstate New York. What do you find in the back of all these pickup trucks in the school parking lot where students parked? Rifles. What did many students have strapped to their leg? A Bowie knife. We thought nothing of it. Because see, nobody would even think of pulling a weapon on somebody in small town America. If anything, we admired their firearms because we probably had some ourselves. But today we have become hypersensitive and all afraid of our shadows. You don't dare have even a nail clipper or file in your purse anymore, because you might find out with that nail, file, or purse in your purse, that's considered a weapon. You might kill somebody with your nail file, because all people are evil and violent by nature and can't be controlled. How many students back in my day, I'm thinking of girls in particular, may have carried aspirin or something along that line with them? Today you can't do that. You know, these zero tolerance policies show zero intelligence and total stupidity on the parts of anybody in the schools that create such stupid policies that are devoid of common sense, reason, and most important, a legitimate reason. Schools have become intellectual sewers. They are nothing more than indoctrination centers, public schools. Public schools. You know, the ones that never can get enough of your tax money. I was reading a website called Public School Review, and obviously, it doesn't take long to understand that they are full believers in public school only. They don't like charter schools. They don't like private schools. They hate vouchers because that's competition. You know, one of the things, to show you how stupid they are, these are educators, some of the dumbest people on the face of God's earth. Stupid people are educators today. People that should not be allowed to teach are teaching our children today. They make these absurd statements. One of the greatest dangers of a school voucher program, it means less money for public education. Okay, I'll buy that to a point. But you're also not having to educate that student in your classroom anymore. You're not having to cover the cost of that student. So, if you once had a class of 20 students, and, you know, the average in the United States from the poorest to the wealthiest, we're about $16,000, $17,000 per student per year in elementary school. In other words, taxpayers are paying $17,000 for little Johnny to go to the fourth grade a year. $17,000 a year. In some places, like where we live in Florida, more like $24,000 a year per student is being expended to teach them how not to read, how not to reason, how not to think, and not know American history. But they know the word climate change. They can actually pronounce climate change. They can pronounce systemic racism. Those things they're learning. So if you have a school, let's say you have a class of 20 students, and you're getting, let's just round it out to some oddball number, okay, $20,000 per student. Do the math. That little class is costing $400,000 a year to teach fourth graders. $400,000 a year to teach fourth graders. Let me remind you of that again. Schools in many places are spending $400,000 a year for a classroom of 20 students. What are we getting for 400 grand? And they get mad because, see, if somebody gets a voucher and now five students are gone, well, now they're only getting 300,000 to teach the remaining 15. And the charter schools, well, they don't get all the benefit of all that tuition, to be quite honest. They only get part of the benefit if you actually do the math. This article was too intellectually dishonest to mention that. Good little checking. The schools want 100% of your child's life, and they want your money to do the deed to damage them for you. I am up to my eyeballs in the wokeism of today's public education. They are teaching our children things that are not true. You look at even, of all things, a Lutheran school in New York City. Obviously, it's not a Missouri Synod school. They're trying to get rid of the term mom and dad. You know, that's a terrible term. Can't have it. What do they want? Parental unit? Those people that feed me? What do they want? Our children are being brainwashed and indoctrinated just like Hitler did to the youth of Germany, just like Mao Zedong did to the youth of China. To the point that after a generation, the children were so intellectually hampered and damaged and ruined, psychological damage, that they were willing in China to engage in the Cultural Revolution. Tearing down statues. Sound familiar? Burning things down. Sound familiar? Killing people. Old people. They wanted to break all ties with the past and move to the glorious future being promised by our leaders and our schools. Welcome to the America of today. We have finally arrived. We have finally arrived at that point where they have succeeded in dumbing down our children. And the work that many Christian parents have to do to overcome the damage, the work the church is failing to do to overcome the damage. And I'm going to get onto that one in just a moment. Public education public education today is designed to rip any values you're trying to instill in your students, in your children. They want to rip it out of their hearts and their minds. And they want to fill it with something else. You may want to teach your children to worship God. They're trying to get your children to worship the planet. I'm going to repeat that in case you missed it. The schools today are working to have your children no longer worship the Creator, God. They want your child to worship the creation, the earth. Thus, the greatest crisis of all is climate change. Used to be global warming until it stopped warming. Now it's climate change. One fraud after another, after another, after another, and we're still buying the lie. That shows the stupidity of most Americans today. They don't do any research. It was once we're going to freeze to death, then it became global warming, and when none of the predictions, zero predictions have come true. By now, the polar ice cap should have been gone for about 10 years. They're still there. By now, my home in Florida should be underwater. My home is still there. By now, my Georgia mountain home should be barren wasteland because of the sun or something now. And, you know, no trees and dried up streams. Every major prediction made in the last 40 years that should have occurred by now has never come to pass. But we keep listening to these people spouting this garbage, and our kids are believing it. I sometimes wonder, do our politicians really believe this garbage? Does John Kerry really believe that the greatest crisis facing the world today is climate change caused by people, as he sails around in his yachts and sailboats with motors and his private aircraft? His multi-million, you know, dollar mansions. Al Gore's footprint on his home equals about 20 of his neighbors' homes. None of these people, they don't do without, but they demand you do without, because they have become the multi-millionaire elites of this world, and they're using the education system to brainwash children to become their little foot soldiers in their army. Is any of this making any sense to you? Are you believing anything that I'm telling you? Are you concerned with what you see? That website I mentioned before, you know, the Public School Review, and they're giving their reasons. They're giving their reasons why school vouchers are just a horrible thing, because it'll take away money from public schools and budgets, and budgets are so tight. You know, Anderson County, South Carolina, small county in a conservative state, has not one, but they have five school districts. Five districts. I know bigger counties like Greenville County in South Carolina simply have one. So what has happened in many places, you have five six-figure school administrators and their assistants and their secretaries and their staffs and their buildings and their vehicles and their perks. You have all this layer of bureaucracy in buildings. Buildings they poorly maintain most of the time. You want a good example? Not many years ago, in a county that I'm very familiar with, they raised a lot of money to build some new schools. And they got on the ballot a school bond initiative. And it passed. And they built all these wonderful schools, and they did a lousy job building them, and they started falling apart about 15 years later. 15 years later. And so, what did they do? See, they never budgeted to maintain the buildings properly. They just, you know, they figured the buildings are just going to be there. That shows the intelligence level of administrators of schools. They don't think ahead. And so they decide This district needs more schools. Not a very big district, by the way. Not like it has, you know, mega thousands of students. So they decide to do another bond issue. But they don't do it during the general election. They do it at an off time on a Tuesday, in-person voting only. And there's very little said about it in the news media. So many people didn't realize that there was this $130 million school bond referendum to build some new schools. And it passed because the educators went out and voted. Certain students in certain neighborhoods were told to get their parents to go vote. So they voted themselves a nice property tax increase without realizing it. And then they started building all these new schools to tear down the old ones they didn't take care of to begin with. What kind of an education is that for students, that everything in the world is just disposable? I thought these were the ones that are talking about saving the planet and recycle. They're trashing whole school buildings. The other thing that they complain about is because many private schools are religious, the allowance of using tax dollars to pay for private schools is a blatant violation of the constitutional separation of church and state. To which I ask you, Mr. Educator, that knows everything, pull out your stinking constitution and show me the words separation of church and state. I will wait. Have you found it yet, the word separation of church and state that you so vigilantly always cram down our throats? You haven't found it yet? Come on. You guys are the educators. You should know this stuff by heart. Separation of church and state. Where is it in the Constitution? Well, obviously, you couldn't find it because it's simply not there. The closest you'll ever find to that in the early founding of this nation is something written by President Jefferson long after the Constitution was adopted, talking about a wall of separation between the church and the state. But in this regard, he was telling the Danbury Baptist that the government's never going to interfere with how you practice your faith. A 1962, if I recall, court decision changed all that with a horrible ruling based on improper information by Madeleine Murray O'Hare and began to interpret in ways that we had never, ever expressed it since the beginning of our nation. Roosevelt led the nation in prayer on the radio on D-Day in 1944. George Washington, other presidents have called for a national day of prayer. Over 100-some-odd years ago, we set aside money for a national cathedral. One of the first expenditures ever made by the United States Congress was to buy Bibles for students, for their education. This idea in modern times of we must stamp out Christianity at all cost is something relatively new. Can't have those invocations anymore. Can't sing about Jesus at his birth at Christmas. We can have Santa Claus and Easter bunnies, which are based on pagan, well, at least the Easter bunny, pagan stuff. But no. I can remember. I wonder if today, at the high school I attended way back 50 plus years ago, where we sang Vivaldi's Gloria, the entire piece, or Handel's Messiah. I guess we can't do that anymore because it is probably, you know, it's a violation of that separation of church and state in the Constitution. That doesn't exist. Never has existed. but you've been beaten over the head with it for the last 50 years or more. The leftist, the Satanist have taken over your school. That public school that you send your children to is now in the hands of those that hate God, worship the earth, and promote transgenderism among 10-year-olds.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Fear of the fish. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, the prophet Jonah was called to preach judgment to the city of Nineveh. First, he ran away from the call. You know the story. Now, Nineveh was one of the chief cities of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were some of the fiercest, most savage, inhumane peoples of the ancient world. It'd be like preaching judgment to Moscow under Joseph Stalin. So why wasn't Jonah afraid? Why wasn't Jonah afraid of the rejection or of imprisonment or of hatred and persecution and physical harm or death? Why wasn't Jonah afraid of the Assyrians? A real simple reason. He was more afraid of the fish. See, every time he started to fear people, all he had to do was think of that fish looking at him, shaking its fin and saying, "Hey, it's lunchtime, Jonah." See, after 3 days in the stomach of a fish, you don't look forward to going back. The fish represented God. And at first, Jonah was more afraid of people than God. But now, after the fish, he was more afraid of God than people. And so with you. If you're a child of God and you're afraid of people and what people think of you and whether they're going to accept or reject you and what you're saying is you don't fear God or care what he thinks. You see, Jonah could only fear the Assyrians if he didn't fear God. And you can only fear people if you don't fear God. But if you fear God most of all, and God is for you, then it's impossible to fear anything or anyone else. Because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Do you fear God? Then stop fearing man. Therefore, go and preach the gospel to all men. Fear no man. Only God. Want more? Ask for revival in Nineveh. Now, how'd you like to be faster than a speeding bullet? It'll leap tall buildings in a single bound, or how about just move mountains? You can. With Sapphires, the super spiritual supplement to help turn your walk into a super life with God. Plus, the incredible mystery of the temple doors, all free. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join me in the Great Commission to bring salvation back to the Jewish people and to reach millions of unreached peoples around the world on 5 continents. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy, at box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip is 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy. It's box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah. Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I want to welcome you back to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I'm so glad that you're with us. Before I get back to a few of the things that are on my mind today, I just want to thank those of you that support this program, listen to the program. Many listen on a daily basis. And I'm honored because, you know, it takes a lot of effort. I mean, it really does. To find the time to listen to a program like this, whether on shortwave or as a podcast. And I'm amazed. Every week or so, I look at some of the numbers that we get in terms of the podcast delivery. I can get some of the feedback. And it seems every week it goes up a little bit. So I'm thankful that there are more people listening as a podcast. And I'm also thankful for the mail that I get from so many of you that listen via radio. It means the world to me. And for those that are willing to help financially keep the program on the air. I'll tell you more about that toward the end of the program. This week I had a little bit of a problem. I've got a few emails I need to reply to, but in the process of moving over to a different email client on my computer, I made a mistake. And I think I have lost a few of the emails that I'm trying to save. And I've got a couple of people that I promised to send an email to that are probably thinking I forgot about you, but now I have lost the email. And I apologize profusely. When you are a one-man operation, which we are here, I don't have a staff, I don't have a secretary, don't have any of that stuff. I don't have a producer, I don't have an engineer. I do it all myself. And some days are not easy. And when something like that happens, it just makes it even worse. So my deepest apologies if you didn't get a reply from me and you've been looking for one. If you've been thinking it's been a week and you haven't heard from me, send me another email, and this way I'll get your address. I apologize. In that process of making a change, because of a Windows update, I needed to make a change, and it didn't work out the way it's supposed to. So let me know. Once again, this is the program Truth to Ponder, and I started today in the first half giving you my very strong feelings about education in the United States today. It is dismal compared to when I came up. And honestly, as I do a little bit of research, and you look back to the 1800s or the early 1900s, kids coming out of a one-room schoolhouse with only an eighth grade education knew a whole lot more then than many of our college students graduating from places like Yale and Harvard and Princeton and University of Georgia or Florida or California or anywhere else you can think of. I remember reading an article about, maybe a couple of weeks ago, that actually showed some of the exams given in various states, some of the questions. And I'm thinking, this is the kind of stuff I got more into in high school than in the eighth grade. But then again, understand the time in which we were living, in the late 1800s, in the early 1900s. You know, somebody pointed out to me the great advantage of the one-room schoolhouse that educators today despise. There was an actual major benefit to having the one-room schoolhouse. I never thought about it until a person outlined it so beautifully. In today's education, we segregate little kids, and we have our kind of romper room kindergarten, and we try to, teach things along the way. That's been the theory anyway. You know, one grade at a time, one grade at a time. And sometimes, as I look back now, even in my years growing up, sometimes they try to cram too much information too quickly. And that can frustrate a lot of students. I can see that now. In the one-room schoolhouse, they would work with different grades at the same time. While some of the older students are learning certain things, some of the younger students are reading. And as they would teach another group, then you had older students mentoring and helping the younger students all day long. They learned how to work in community better, get along with people beyond their own age bracket, which is why when you look over history, children that were the level of today's fifth or sixth grader had a much better vocabulary and spoke more like adults because they were with people that were older than them in the one-room schoolhouse. And they learned from their older peers who had been right where they were a year or two before. And so by the time they were coming out of the eighth grade, they were able to learn a whole lot more. Now, there's a guy, his first name escapes me, last name was Steiner, a German educator, had a theory. Dr. Steiner had a theory about education many, many years ago as he observed children. And I was a little skeptical of the way that process would work initially, but I became a believer quickly. back in the early 2000s when I was the pastor of a church in Florida. We had just acquired this former Methodist church building, and we were renovating it and getting it all ready to go. And I was approached by a group. We had an educational wing with several classrooms, bathrooms, and the church had a big kitchen at the other end of it, not far away. And I was approached by a group that had a what's called a Waldorf school. Now, I can't tell you what they do today, but I can tell you back then. And they were looking for a place because the place they had was going to be no longer available by the next school year. And they wanted to get moved by that coming summer. We just had gotten in the building around the first of the year. And so after I thought it over and talked to the church council, we decided it was a good idea. And I let them move in. And they helped with some of the bills. It was wonderful to have them there. And at first, I was a little bit concerned because I'm thinking, okay, you got all these young kids, and it seems like a lot of playtime. You know, where's the educational component? They explained to me that you have to let a child grow into the ability of learning and to develop their natural ability to want to learn. And so I watched over a period of, I think, almost 2.5 years, almost 3 years. They start out seeming so far behind their public school counterparts. By the time they're hitting the third and fourth grade, they are so far ahead of their public school counterparts, even many homeschooled and Christian school kids' counterparts. Why? Because they had learned the secret of getting a child to have the curiosity to want to learn. These children were polite, never belligerent, intelligent, could carry on a conversation, well-mannered, well-versed, and they had common sense and the ability of intellectual reasoning. In today's school world, a free thinker, a person that has the ability of critical thinking, is crushed because the schools of today do not want independent thinking. They want group think and group speak. You must be a part of a group. And if you happen to be white, you must renounce your white privilege because you are just full of hate and rage and systemic racism. You know, I go back in my younger years to the 1960s, the way I was raised. I was not raised to be prejudiced or hateful to any other human being. I learned early on and adopted as my personal life creed the words of Martin Luther King when he said, to be judged on the content of your character, not the color of your skin. I've treated people that way all my life. But see, now because I am white, I am conservative, and I am a Christian, I have some kind of guilt and privilege I need to somehow renounce. I need to give reparations. I need to grovel eternally. And I'm going, what in the world are you talking about? Number one, my family wasn't here back in those days of the 1800s. Only through adoption. One of the most insane things I've ever heard is you got people wanting to give one particular race like $300,000 for reparations. They want to give those that went to college like, you know, a $50,000 stop paying your loan check. I wonder if I get $50,000 for not being in student debt. I don't think it works that way. I think those that paid theirs off, hey, too bad. I never had student debt. I worked. A lot of people did that back in our day until college education became so outrageously expensive in comparison to the general economy. You know, once government got their hands, anytime government gets their hands in anything, they have a tendency to destroy it. Just leave well enough alone would be my best suggestion. Every time government messes with anything, they wreck it, they ruin it, they politicize it, and they create their own set of winners and losers to control the ballot box. Education. Back when I graduated high school, you had basically, I came out of a high school that very, 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 very few ever dropped out. I think just one, maybe two, I can't remember, but I'm thinking one, maybe two people I knew of that dropped out prior to the senior year because they had decent jobs. They were going to be laborers for their life. Probably some of them did very well. Others were taking courses in high school to learn trades like, you know, servicing automobiles, working with machinery. And they were ready to go to work right out of high school with well-paying jobs. Others, like myself, went on to a two-year trade school. Others went on to 4 years of college or 2 years of college. And then some, like myself, went back to college later for more when the time was right. Today, there's a stigma that when you graduate high school, if you're going to amount to anything, you must go to college. You must go to college to be considered among the well-bred and elite. And I'm finding so many college graduates dumber than stumps. They have no common sense. They are so into wokeism. That's what I call it. It's a disease of wokeism. They go to these schools. They go outrageously into debt that will take them decades to pay off, to have their brains sucked out and trashed and replaced with nonsense. They're willingly paying to be indoctrinated where they can't function anymore like a normal human being should. They believe every woke thing coming down the pathway. And they become climate change justice warriors, systemic racism, you know, all the buzzwords of the day that politicians just literally throw up at you. I think a lot of these politicians don't believe their own rhetoric, but they know people are out there stupid enough, uneducated enough, or indoctrinated sufficiently to buy whatever they're saying. I said in the first half of the program, I don't believe for 10 seconds that John Kerry truly believes that the earth is in a major crisis. I believe he makes millions of dollars pretending the earth is in a major crisis, like Al Gore did with his phony carbon credit scam. It's all a scam. By now, the earth was supposed to be just a great big ball of fire with melted polar ice caps and most of the state of Florida underwater. This is what's supposed to have happened. Remember 2005, I remember it well. Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and there was a lot of devastation. And everybody said this hurricane was caused by climate change or global warming back then. It was still global warming. We hadn't adapted to climate change yet. Global warming caused Hurricane Katrina. People died because of Hurricane Katrina. Whole areas destroyed. Well, here's why places got destroyed. The corrupt government of New Orleans and that entire region, that whole parish, have been taking all the money for their levies to protect their communities and spending it on garbage, trash, parties, and booze. And the money was never being put into the levies. These levy committees were partying and traveling on the taxpayer dime, and ignored the levees. Here's the irony. The levees built by the French 200 years ago survived fine. It's the ones that, you know, the modern day politicians were supposed to be bragging about and spending all these millions of dollars on that failed. It was nothing but government incompetence for what happened every step of the way in New Orleans, from not being told to evacuate, from not being able to go to certain places, and their mayor heading off to another city to get away from the storm. It was a total government screw-up of the highest magnitude in New Orleans that the federal government had to bail out. So now the pundits get on CNN and the New York Times, the Washington Compost, whatever. Because of global warming, hurricane intensity is going to magnify and increase. Expect 5 to 10 Katrinas every year will slam the United States and kill people and cause billions of dollars in untold damage. You can look up the stories. They're still there. Hurricane Katrina is just the beginning of the man-made global warming hurricanes. The monster storms that'll devastate and slam the United States to bits. The fear. So vote John Kerry or vote somebody else. You know, I mean, it was like it's all George Bush's fault. Now, he's far from my favorite president, but he didn't cause the hurricanes. So after all these pundits on CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times, after everybody talked about global warming and hurricanes, what happened? Do you remember? Basically a 10-year hiatus of any hurricane hitting the United States, and there were no superstorms. None. The superstorm Sandy was just, you know, a big nor'easter. We've had many of those, just where it hits. All the predictions of the global warming crowd, now climate change, formerly global freezing, I've heard this, and I want to remind you of this, and I tell this to everybody that makes a comment, you know, about the end of the world coming because of the climate or the weather, whatever. All these politicians say, we only have 10 years left. It was 12 years 2 years ago, so I'm going to figure that it's 10 years. We have 10 years left before it's too late. 10 years. I've been hearing we have 10 years left for 51 years. 51 years ago, next month, I think it is the 51st anniversary of Earth Day. We had 10 years left, or the planet would freeze over. Miami would be buried under snow in January because of man-made global freezing. The Cuyahoga River's on fire, and it'll be a dead, you know, river for the next 10,000 years. I remember that. 10,000 years, it'll be a dead, dying, decayed river. Well, they stopped throwing in the benzene and chemicals. Looks pretty decent these days. I happened to see it not that many years ago. It's restored itself just fine. It didn't take 10,000 years. Didn't even take 50 years. Didn't take 25 years. The Earth is a living planet. A tribute to a living God. And that is what the leftist, the Satanist, and the communist cannot tolerate. That they are not the top of the food chain. They are not the be-all and end-all of everything on this planet. There is a God. The schools hate him. The public schools hate him. Politicians on the left hate him, despise him, or mock him, or have decided to outvote and tell God. This is what burns me about some of the politicians. The word of God is totally clear on a number of issues. Yet they are arrogant enough to wave their finger in the face of God and say, "No, you do it our way, and I'm still a good Catholic." Miss Pelosi, Mr. Biden, you left your Catholicism behind when you adopted the abortion platform. You are no Catholic. On top of that, you are no longer any kind of a Christian, because there is no fruit of your Christianity in anything you do any longer. In your policies, in your speeches, you get on television and you lie and lie and lie and lie again. You're believing what Goebbels said. Keep saying the big lie until it is swallowed whole. Our government has been infiltrated by Satanists, literally. Our schools are now run by the extreme left of the world. We are going bankrupt by the... Hey, this new bill out there, anybody that has been reading it, what is it, like 5 to 9% of it goes to, quote, corona relief. The other 90 to 95% is pork barrel garbage to bail out bankrupt blue states, like New York. They can tax their people into oblivion, and they're still broke. And people are leaving those states in droves. I don't blame them. Just if you come to Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, make one promise to leave the silly voting habits that put a guy like Andy, you know, St. Andrew Cuomo into office. Leave those behind. Stop voting for the woke fools. Stop being a fool. Before I finish up for today, I want to get back to education for a moment, and that website about public school review that is, you know, secretly, they try to pretend that we're fair and balanced, but it's a bunch of baloney. They hate the idea of school vouchers. They hate the idea of parental choice, because they want to run your kids. They want to control your kids because they believe they should raise your children. And parents, you need to get out of the school's way. And what I'm reading again, you know, school vouchers, I love them because it gives parents choices. And that's why educators hate them. Public educators hate them, because now we have competition. We may look bad. And every time, look, homeschool kids beat the stuffing educationally out of public school kids. Every time. They talk about vouchers do not benefit all students because, see, private schools can still, you know, pick and choose which students attend. They can't discriminate. Well, that's true. If you got somebody that doesn't want to pay attention in class, wants to be a class clown, wants to disrupt the class, they get thrown out. Public schools don't know how to do that. Public schools keep pushing down to the lowest common denominator for everybody in the school. In other words, we destroy the system to go to the lowest common denominator of disruptive students. We have inner city schools where the hoods and the hoodlums and the gangs run the place. They need to throw the kids out, but they don't do it. So yeah, maybe we need to have some, quote, discrimination against students, send them home to their parents and say, don't send them back until they're willing to behave. This would never have been put up with 100 years ago. With more schools vying for tuition money, the quality of private schooling may suffer. No, it doesn't. I know some, shall we say, starving private schools working on a shoestring budget where the children are far better educated, have greater social skills, intelligence, and communication ability. Money doesn't buy an education. The desire to learn does. And then it says school vouchers skim the best students away from public education. Sure it does, because your public school stinks. It's a sewer. Parents want to get their kids out of that public school sewer that you refuse to fix. You want the students, you want the money, you want the control. Sorry, you can't have it. They say some of the arguments in favor you know, they're opposing school choice because they think they can do it better if you just let us do it our way and give us more money. I've had it with the public education system. They've done more damage to this nation. We have kids that just, listen, if you have a computer and you can get on YouTube, not one of my favorite places, but I looked up like some of Jay Leno's old jaywalking series, talking to college students about basic stuff seventh graders knew 50 years ago. Like, who was the first president? It's really bad when you have a college student that has no idea that it was George Washington. Or who do we fight in the Revolutionary War? Well, one student said the French. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Ignorance of history means you're doomed to repeat it. Which is the leftist goal? The left is determined to be the elite and have drones of their own choosing. And the dumbing down is not some kind of concept. It is absolutely real. It has really happened. Yeah, I'm sorry some of the best students leave a public school with a school voucher because they know your public school is an absolute sewer. When you didn't have the competition, you didn't prove you could do any better. And now you have educators in California. Oh, we're not coming back because of, until you fix climate change, instead, it's not the virus anymore, it's climate change. Or you fix this or fire every one of those teachers that does not want to come back to the classroom. Of course, it's California. They're woke. They've got brain syphilis going on at the highest levels. If I was made governor for a day, I'd fire every one of them and revoke their credentials and start over. And fire every administrator that is behind them. They're a true danger. Listen. Today's been my rant and rave day. Maybe tomorrow I'll do some more. Maybe I'll change my mind and do something else. Let me know you listen. Go to the website, truth2ponder.com. I'm going to talk about better shortwave reception maybe tomorrow a little bit. If you believe in what we're doing, would you consider helping us out? Our mailing address in Georgia is 21 Berkshire Lane, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, and we can be found in the big city of Sky Valley, Georgia, and the zip code is 30537. I'll share some more thoughts tomorrow, and I hope you'll be with me.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.